I feel that God wants me to preach in these moments this morning on the subject, the church, the pillar and ground of the truth. Those are the words that Paul wrote to Timothy. He talked about the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth in 1 Timothy 3:15. I don't know what the Holy Ghost had in mind exactly when He inspired Paul to write those words. But every time they come into my hearing or come into my thinking, I come back to Genesis 28. For here Jacob takes the stones that he has used for a pillow, and he changes them and makes them a pillar. Of course, most of us from this part of the country didn't know the difference, because all my life the thing that I've laid under my head was a pillar instead of a pillow. But Jacob took his pillow and made a pillar out of it. And I want to say some things from this passage this morning about the church. Of course, you're aware that God has had a people, and He will always have a people. He had a people before the world began in His mind and in His purpose. He's had a people in Old Testament history. He had a people in New Testament history. He has a people in this hour. And I don't think any of us could ever be grateful enough for how God has put us in His body, in the church. The church is more than a pillow. I feel that I have used the church on many occasions as a pillow and rested my head upon it and appreciated the relaxation and the rest that has been my portion through the church. In fact, the church is so important to us. I was brought up in the church. I was saved in the church. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost in the church. It was in the church where God dealt with me about preaching. And God brought me a wife in the church. And I tell you, the church, there's some folks. Why, there's some of you sitting here, you wouldn't even get any flowers in the hospital if it wasn't for the church. And what I know about the Bible, I've learned it in the church. What I know about singing, I've learned it in the church. What I've learned about loving and being kind, I've learned it in the church. I say the church is not just a pillow. The church is a pillar. The church is a means of support for God's people. And so I want to say at least three things about the church as a pillar. I want you to notice firstly with me from this passage, we're confronted with the establishment of the church. The establishment of the church. Now, there's one little phrase in verse number 18. That gets a hold of my heart. It tells us, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and watch this, and set it up for a pillar. He did not leave the stones laying in the same position they were in, but he raised them up in somewhat of a memorial stone. Setting. There are different pillars in the Old Testament. There are pillars of idolatry, idolatrous pillars. And the children of Israel were constantly warned against erecting these pillars of false worship. But then there are these memorial pillars Jacob erected here. And then later, Rachel set up some pillars. Absalom also established some pillars. But This is a portrait of the church. God's memorial in the world. You see, Jesus is no longer here physically. He is no longer here bodily. And the Holy Ghost, though He is here in His people. And He cannot visibly be seen visibly. And the only memorial God has in this world is His church. We are not a place for idolatry. No, those are the bad pillars. We are a memorial unto the Lord. We represent His gracious dealings in the earth. We represent His redemptive plan. We represent His future purposes in the hope that is ours in Christ. And so I say, as He set up the pillar in the form of a memorial stone, it portrays the establishment of the church. Now, before He set up this pillar, there was a revelation from God to Jacob. We know it, of course, as the story of heaven's ladder reaching down to earth. Every time I read this, I think of what Jesus said to Nathanael in John chapter 1. He said, "Hereafter ye shall see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." He was saying to Nathanael, "I am Jacob's ladder. I am the ladder to heaven. I am the way to the celestial city. I am God's ladder set down upon the earth." And that's exactly what verse 12 says. "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth." You see, before Jacob could set up the memorial stone or the pillar, there had to be a revelation. And in the establishment of the church, there had to be a revelation. God revealed His ladder, the Lord Jesus, in the earth. And in that revelation, the church found its foundation and found its establishment. Thank God we do not propose to be the ladder. We are only here because of the ladder. Because the ladder has been set up, the church has been set up. And so there is a revelation in the establishment of the church. May I say, it is not only a general revelation. God with us, Emmanuel. God dwelling with us. John said, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." It is not only a general revelation in Christ, but to all of us who make up the body, all of us who constitute the people of God, we have all had personal revelations of the Lord Jesus. I don't think there's a week in my ministry that I don't come back to Matthew 16. Jesus said to the disciples as He came into that northern section of Israel, known as Caesarea Philippi, He said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They gave Him a list. Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets, John the Baptist, come back from the dead. And He qualified in all these areas. He preached the same message John the Baptist preached. He wept the tears of a Jeremiah. He performed the miracles of an Elijah. And He preached the messages of the prophets. Certainly, He had these characteristics. But He said to His disciples after they gave Him all these answers, "But whom do ye say that I am?" That's when Simon Peter said, "Lord, I'd like to give a testimony. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to Simon Peter in return, "Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee." Your mama and your daddy didn't teach this to you. And Simon Peter, you didn't learn this in Sunday school. But my Father, which is in heaven, hath revealed this unto thee. Oh, such is the case of Simon Peter. And listen, right after that, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. You cannot separate revelation into the individual from the church. That's what connects us to the church. It's God revealing Christ to us and Christ in us. And so there is the establishment of the pillar, the church. It comes through the revelation of Jesus to this earth. And it comes to the from the revelation of Jesus to individuals like you and me. But that's not the end of the story. The Bible tells us in verse number 18, having set up this stone for a pillar. Oh, couldn't we enlarge upon that? It was not a marble pillar. It was not a wooden pillar. But it was a stone pillar. The church is God's stone building. Cut out of the quarries of this world and set up on the firm foundation of the Lord Jesus Himself. The church is God's memorial in the earth. Set up and listen. After He set up the pillar, the Bible says He poured oil upon the top of it. We not only have set forth the establishment of the church, but we have the endowment of the church. He poured oil upon the top of it. Now, I've thought about this off and on over several years. You understand, of course, that oil in the Bible is a picture and a type of the blessed Holy Ghost. And so we have the portrait of the Holy Ghost in this emblem, oil. Of course, there's so many figures of speech in the Scriptures that are typical of the Holy Ghost. He is heaven's dew. He is heaven's wind. Boy, I've had that text in my heart the last week or two where Jesus said the wind bloweth where it listeth. The Holy Ghost is like the wind. He does what He wills. Paul enlarged upon that in the Corinthian letter when he said, He giveth gifts according to His will, own will. And so the Holy Ghost is likened unto many different physical emblems. But here, He is likened unto oil. Now, oil, of course, in Old Testament times, was a prized product. It was something that was hard to come by. It was something that you had to work for. If it was olive oil, you had to work with the olives and squeeze them and press them until the oil was manifested. In fact, the word Gethsemane, literally means olive press. And as Jesus went through Gethsemane, you remember, He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He was going through the olive press, so to speak. Going through God's divine, eternal pressure concerning our sin. But the product, once the product was received, once the product was possessed, it was a prized product. Oh, may I say, the blessed Holy Ghost may be a sought after product. If you'll allow me to use that word, He is very highly prized to those who have received Him. Of course, He came to us because Jesus, just like the little olive, went through the olive press for the children of Israel to have oil. So Jesus went through heaven's olive press that the Holy Ghost might be given to you and me. I say He poured oil upon the top of. So we have a portrait of the Holy Ghost. Oil. The church is not sufficient in itself. The stone pillar of the church, though it be a memorial stone, it is not sufficient. It is not beneficial. It is not of any value, of any help, apart from the endowment of the blessed Holy Ghost. In fact, I want you to notice the process here. We not only have the portrait of the Holy Ghost, we have the process of the Holy Ghost. He poured oil upon it. He poured oil upon it. Of course, this law before Moses, Moses emphasizes this law in Leviticus and Deuteronomy of pouring oil upon memorials or pouring oil upon altars. But here, before Moses comes into the picture, before Moses is rocking in a little homemade cradle down in the Nile River, before Moses comes to the scene of authority and leadership, God moves upon Jacob, and in type and in figure, He pours oil upon the top of the rock. May I say, the church is not just a recipient of God's establishment or God's redeeming work, but the church has had oil poured on it. To pour oil upon a rock is to get it around the edges of the rock, to cover the rock, and to splash it on everything around the rock. I don't care what this world says about the church. If it wasn't for the church, they wouldn't know anything about God's kindness and love. The Holy Ghost splashes on the church and then splashes out around us. And if there is any grace, if there is any mercy, if there is any love in this community, it's because of the oil that's splashed on top of the rock, and the church has exuded the blessings of God in the community. Oh, notice, He didn't pour oil on the side of this pillar. He poured it on top of it. That's so from the head to the foot. The oil could cover the church. Now, you know, of course, who the head of the church is. The head of the body is Christ. And from the head on down to the lowest member, the most base member, to the foot, to the heel, to the toes, the oil runs freely on down through the effects of the church, all around the church. Oh, I say to you that the church has not only been established through the revelation of Jesus, but the church has been endued through the realization of the Holy Ghost. Now, all of this is precious. But oh, I want you to notice what Jacob says about this place. Well, I'm glad I finally got through all of that so I could get to this. I've talked about the establishment of the pillar, the church. The endowment of the pillar, the church. I want you to look with me before we leave today at the environment of the pillar of the church. The church has more than a passing influence. Jacob said in verse 17, "While the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Verse 16. Verse 17 he added, "How dreadful is this place." Listen to this now. "This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven." Now when we come down to verse 19, he renames the place. It used to be named Luz. When he laid down and pillowed his head on those stones, the name of that place was Luz. L-U-Z. It means perversion. A perverted place. But when he woke up, having realized the presence of God and sensing that this environment was a holy place, a place where God had manifested Himself, he said, this place has got the wrong name. In days gone by, this may have been a perverted place, but he said to me, it's a precious place. He said, God was in this place and I didn't even know it. Is that not the truth about the church? There was a time, yeah, hallelujah. There was a time when the church upon the hill was a place we didn't want anything to do with. There was a time when the church was a perverted place to us. We thought people were twisted who went there. We thought somebody called a preacher was sort of trying to run everybody's life. It was a perverted place. It was the last place we were interested in. Oh, but when God aroused us in the morning of spiritual resurrection, we realized it was not a perverted place, but it was the house of God. And God is in this place. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, I'm talking to you about the reality of God in the church. Surely God is in this place. Huh? So he changed the name from Luz to Bethel. Now any time in the Bible you come to a B-E-T-H means house. Bethlehem. House of bread. Bethany. House of figs. Bethel. House of God. House of God. Well, I'm aware that each one of us are God's house individually. But oh, we cannot lose sight of the fact that where God meets with His people is more than just another building. It is the house of God. That's why we want our youngins to sit around in this environment. That's why we want our grand youngins in this environment. That's the reason we want our relatives in this environment. That's the reason we want our friends in this environment. And those that we work with, is we know God meets with His people down at Bethel. Amen. I say to you, it didn't used to be Bethel to us. But now, it's the house of God. There's no place on earth like the house of God. I'm sorry, I never have been one to judge songs too much, because I was afraid some of my little old rhymes might get judged, I guess. But they're wrong. They say there's no place like home. They got it wrong. There's no place like God's house. Home can't come up to it. It can't come up to it. Over this weekend, I've been without my family, so I've taken advantage of my mom and my daddy. My daddy picked me up to the airport yesterday, and I ate supper with them last night. And Mama told me to come, she'd fix me some oatmeal this morning. And so I was back down there this morning. And then I ended up having to take advantage of them some more. Because of the flat tires syndrome this morning. But, you know, I don't get to spend a lot of time with my folks. Don't spend enough, I'm sure. But I feel at home around my mama and my daddy. But I don't feel like I used to feel when I was there. Because I've got my own house now. Family. And When it come time to lay down last night, I didn't say to my mama, "You don't mind if I sleep back out in one of them rooms, do you?" No, I said, "Well, I'm going to the house. Try to get a few things together. Relax a minute. Lay down at the house." That's home. But it really wasn't home last night, because I didn't have no girls fussing. And my wife wasn't there to wash my clothes. I had to wash my own. Now, I know you ain't going to feel sorry for me. Because you women have been telling all us men for years we need to try it ourselves. What I'm telling you is no house really feels like home without the family there. I love this beautiful building. It's just phenomenal what God has raised up here. And I bless His holy name for it. I do. I'm going to tell you, this building sure is a dangerous place in the dark. Ah, but you come in here as God's people, mix and mingle, rub shoulders and talk about God, and sing the song of Zion, and the family gathers around the presence of the Heavenly Father. And the first thing you know, you say, "This is not just another place. This is the house of God. This is the house of God." And then Jacob said, "It's not only the house of God." In verse 17, he said, "This is the gate of heaven." I can't quite figure this out. He's sitting out here on top of a hill somewhere with no Sealy Posturepedic to lay on, and no nice king size pillow, a stone for his pillow. And then he takes that rock and turns it up as a pillar, and he says, "This place, this old top of the hill, and the pillar standing there that used to be his pillow, and all on top of it." He has the audacity to say, "This is the gate of heaven." I feel like saying, "Now, Jacob, we love you, we appreciate you, and we know you're a member of the family, but that is not the gate of heaven. That don't even resemble heaven." But you're not going to tell Jacob any difference, because he saw the heaven open and a ladder running all the way down from heaven to earth, an angel from heaven running up and down on that ladder. And he said, "I'm standing here at the gate. This is the gate." And may I say, blessed is the individual who finds out that the church is not just the house of God, but the church is the gate of heaven. Somebody said, "I can't wait till I get to the gate. I've already arrived at the gate." That church is the gate of heaven. You know, I believe it's going to be the transition's going to be wonderful when we get to heaven. It is. We'll have a glorified body and Jesus' literal presence and all of the angels in visible form, and all of that is indescribable. But really, really, if you've been living in the gate of heaven, going to heaven may not be as big a change as you think it's going to be. I'm already in the gate. Oh, brother, I've already had all kinds of transformations, and had some this morning. Amen. I'll have some more before the day is over. Don't tell me I'm not a candidate for heaven. I've already come to the gate. The church of the living God is where heaven touches down on earth. This is where heaven's message is delivered.
This is where heaven's blessings are experienced. This is where heaven's people get together. I say to you, this is the gate of heaven. Oh, I'm talking about the environment of the church. Somebody came up to me some time ago and they said, "Brother Tom, did you spend the whole year in church, don't you?" I said, "Well, not exactly." I said, I take a week off here and there and get to be with my family more than a lot of folks realize. I said, "I'm not in church every night of the year, but really, if I could stand it physically, and it wouldn't detract from my family life and my own health, I'd just like to confess I wouldn't mind it." This is the gate of heaven. The house of God. Jacob said, "This stone," verse 22, "which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house." And watch this. I can't get over all the truths that's attached in this passage. "And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." You can't separate the house of God from the tenth. It all fits together. I'm talking about the environment. It's a godly environment. The house of God. The gate of heaven. It's a giving environment. He said, "I'm just going to go to giving to God from right here on." Oh, I was preaching out of Matthew the other week. I got to say this and I'll shut up. And it hit me like it never had hit me before. You know, before Matthew heard Jesus call him, "Follow me," and and he left his receipt of customs and began to follow Jesus. He left the tax business and began to follow Jesus. He was a getter. Everybody had to give to him. But by the time Jesus got through with him, he turned him into a giver. You can't have a living experience with Jesus and keep just wanting to be a giver. You'll want to be a giver. Because he gives to you and to me. Matthew gave us more than the rest of the writers. Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew gave us 28 chapters. He gives us the full details of the cross experience. Oh, I say to you, the house of God and a confrontation with Him there revolutionizes the lives of His people. When I was a boy, I say this in closing. When I was a boy, they used to set a little old church up on the communion table up at our home church. And the monies given in that went to Miracle Hill Children's Home. And I remember as a boy enjoying getting to walk down that aisle and putting my money in that church. Watch it now. I was putting what Daddy and Mama had given me into the church. But in 1968, you know what happened? Instead of God letting me put in a little old bitty church, He put the church in me. And I can say with Jacob, surely God is in this place. This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. There was a time when Jacob wandered away, but when he came back, you remember what he named this place? El Bethel. He said, "It used to be Bethel to me, the house of God." But he said, "Now I've learned so much, God's taught me so much, it's more than the house of God. It's El Bethel. I've come back to experience the God of the house of God." That's the church. The church. The pillar. And the ground of the truth. Oh, that we may love it. and embrace it and enjoy it in our pilgrimage. Would you stand with me?